Let's get into the word of the Lord today. The Lord placed this word upon my heart to share with you. And it's found in the book of Ruth. And I want us to read the very first chapter. It has some length to it, but I just want to read the whole thing to get it all in the context, to have it all in our minds as to what is happening here. And then we'll get into the message. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm reading from the Modern English Version. And it says this. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the land of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, so that she was left alone with her two sons. They took Moabite wives for themselves. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So she got up with her daughters-in-law to return from the land of Moab, for in the land of Moab she had heard that the Lord had visited his people by giving them food. She set out from the place where she had been with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with your deceased husbands and with me. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the house of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they raised their voices and wept aloud. And they said to her, "We will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Are there sons in my womb who could become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought that there was still hope for me, then that I could have a husband tonight and give birth to sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you refrain from getting married? No, my daughters, it is much more bitter for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they raised their voices and wept aloud once more. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has returned to her people and her gods. Return with her." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me, and worse, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women asked, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has brought great bitterness to me. I was full when I left, but the Lord has caused me to return empty. Why should you call me Naomi when the Lord has opposed me? The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned to the land of Moab with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. They came to Bethlehem at the start of the spring barley harvest. I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning on the trial before the blessing. The trial before the blessing. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would anoint your word this morning. Lord, how you desire to speak the word into the heart of your people, I pray that you would do it. And I ask that, Lord, you would truly speak from your word into every one of our hearts, our lives. We pray that, Lord, you would bless the preaching of your word, and we ask for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The story of Ruth is one of the most cherished stories of the relationship that people can have one with another. In this story, we read about a woman named Naomi who before she departs Jerusalem to go to the land of Moab, as she stated in her word, she left full. In many ways, you can look at this woman as blessed. She has her husband with her. She has her sons with her, and they're looking forward to all that God would do in a distant land, another land that is not in Israel. This is a Jewish family, and this Jewish family understood that God was with his people. However, during the course of time, they realize as they're there in Israel, as this famine begins to spread over the land, they're not able to produce crop in the land that they have. They aren't able to produce for themselves. And so they probably hear word about another place in the land of Moab. And so Elimelech and Naomi leave Israel and they travel to Moab to begin their life in a different area of the world. Tragically, as they are there, as we read in the text, Naomi's husband Elimelech passes away. And we can only imagine her heartache, her pain. For a person to lose their spouse is a pain that is wrenching. It can hurt. There is a pain when there is the breaking of those bonds. And we can only imagine her heart and how she felt as her husband has passed. And so she begins to wonder, God, why are you allowing this in my life? As they continue to dwell there, as she continues to dwell there with her sons, they stay for another 10 years, and I'm sure everything is seemingly going okay, although she's bearing the pain of the loss of her husband. But after 10 years, her sons end up passing away as well. I mean, to add heartache upon heartache, she is hurting and she's in turmoil, and we can only imagine her despair. It's interesting as we look at this story and we consider their names, how that their names speak to the fullness of the story as well. Naomi's name means grace. It also means my delight. And when you begin to consider the story of Naomi, in many ways her story can be our story. It may not be likened to all the same exact circumstances, but there are times in your and my life that we begin to move forward in life and we begin to believe that God is going to be with us. But then sometimes as we are moving forward in the progress of our lives, things that we thought should be happening aren't happening the way that we thought they would. Where we thought that things would be functioning in a particular way, everything seems to be falling apart. And in the midst of the direction and pursuit of our lives, we are in a place where we begin to even question God and begin to say, God, why have you allowed me to go through this? Her son's names, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means sick. Chilion means pining. That means like being brought down in pain. It's like a lot of pain. And you can only imagine as her sons, with the meanings of sick and pain, discomfort, we can wonder, how can God allow these things into our lives? Have you ever been in a place in your life when all of a sudden it seems like sickness has taken hold upon you and you begin to wonder why? Or you begin to wonder why things are falling apart and you're pining away in pain? How could God have any kind of purpose in sickness, in pain? And yet Naomi is the figure, the person that we need to focus in on, because she is God's delight. How can God allow those with whom he finds such delight in to go through such extreme trial? Why would he allow such awful circumstances into their life? And you can imagine Naomi has that same question. She begins to say, as the people are saying, who is this? As she and her daughter-in-law end up going back to Israel, they begin to say, is this Naomi? In verse 20, it says, she says, don't call me Naomi, God's delight. Instead, call me Mara. Because He has brought great bitterness upon me. That word mara means bitter. Bitterness. You all remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness of Mara, or the place of bitterness? Some circumstances can cause us, if we're not careful, to begin to grow bitter because of these circumstances. And we can wonder, God, where are you? God, if I truly am the apple of your eye, if I truly am your delight, why would you allow me to go through these circumstances? But in the midst of all that she went through them not alone. She began to experience these circumstances with her daughters-in-law. And so she begins to realize, Naomi does, and begins to hear there in Moab that God is blessing his people in Israel. God is giving them bread. Where they had left during a time of famine, God has turned it all around and God is blessing Israel. And so she begins to hear about what is going on and she says, I'm going to go back to my homeland. And so she begins to tell her daughters-in-law, go in and go back to your own people. Go in and go back and find another husband for yourself among your own people. Because am I able to produce for you from my own womb another son to provide children for you? Now in that day, and in the custom of the Jews, it was different than it is in our day. But in that day, if a daughter-in-law or a daughter was left alone with the husband dying without ever producing children, there would be what is called a kinsman redeemer who would take that wife unto himself and they would produce children to keep his name alive instead of allowing it to die. It's not the same today, but that's the way it was practiced among the Jews. It was a custom, a law that was practiced. And so Naomi begins to tell her daughters-in-law, there is really no hope for me. I'm already up in age. There's no way I'm going to produce any son to provide for you in the future. And even if I was able to, would you wait that long? So she tells them to go. And she kisses them and they weep aloud. But then at first, it's interesting, both Orpah and Ruth say, we're not going to go anywhere but where you go. Orpah, along with Ruth, begins to say, I'm going to stick it out. I'm willing to go wherever you go, Naomi. I'm willing to do it. It's interesting what their names mean. Orpah means stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. It also means gazelle. How many of you ever watched National Geographic and have seen the gazelles? Those little tiny deer-like animals that can run like pretty quick. Anybody seen the gazelles, Ryan? They're like pretty speedy little things. They're fast. And what's interesting is that her name begins to speak about who Orpah is, because later on, after they said, no, we're going to stick with you, Naomi, verse 11 says that she says, turn back. Am I able to do anything? Am I able to help you? And she says, no, my daughters, in verse 13, it's much more bitter for me than for you. Go ahead and go. And verse 14 says, they raised their voices and wept aloud once more. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, or clave to her. In the actual Hebrew, it brings out that when Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, it brings out the wordage that she kissed her mother-in-law and left. It's interesting how the Lord, in our lives, will bring us through times of trial. You as a child of the living God will experience times of trial where God is moving and dealing with your life. And in the midst of these hard circumstances, God is allowing a trial to affect all of these women. It's affecting Naomi because she's thinking God has forsaken her, has left her in bitterness. Can God work something good out of this for me? She's thinking. But in the midst of this trial, and you can look at this as God speaking to these women, are you willing to be determined to go with me even when the going looks tough? even when it seems like it's going to be nothing but pain and sorrow and bitterness. Are you willing to walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death? At first they say, yes, Lord. But then a little bit later, Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and she turns back to her own people. But Ruth did something different, didn't she? She looked at Naomi and she clave to her. She held her. She probably fell at her feet and was weeping, saying, don't tell me to go. Don't tell me to go. I am willing to die where you die. Wherever you go, I will go. And I'm here to tell you that we, like Ruth, need to be determined that no matter how our circumstances look presently, that we are determined to hold on to the Lord. Amen. And that even if hell and high water comes against us and it feels like we're drowning in pain, like this trial will never end, that we are willing, like Ruth, to say, don't urge me to go or turn back from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. There will be times in our lives when the Lord will seemingly tell us through circumstances and allow the opportunity to leave and go back. But God is testing your and my determination to follow Him no matter what. Our devotedness to Him. You see, God doesn't want you and me to serve Him just for the blessings. God wants us to serve Him no matter if you don't get one blessing, He is enough. Yeah. Andre Crouch wrote a song and he says, if heaven wasn't promised to me, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Yeah. I love you, Jesus. I'm willing to go with you. It looks dark. It looks bleak. I don't know how you can turn this around. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. And that, in essence, is what Ruth is saying to Naomi. And she holds on to her. And it's beautiful because in verse 18 it says, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. She says, I know she's going with me. Amen? She's going with me. And so they return to that place. Naomi is still struggling with bitterness. Ruth is with her. There's talk in the town. But I love how that chapter ends. It says they came to Bethlehem at the start of the barley harvest. Little did they know that they were on the heels of a blessing. Little did they know that this trying circumstance, as awful as it was, even as long as it may have been, was right before the blessing. I remember R.W. Shambach, who passed away just a few years back, began to say, when the devil starts messing, the Lord starts blessing. Sometimes we don't realize what we are going through, how that God is preparing us even now for the blessing. That we don't even realize that right on the verge, right yonder in the distance, there is a blessing, and sometimes it's a blessing that you can't even contain. But are we willing to serve the Lord whether we have that blessing or not? And Ruth said, wherever you go, I am going. And I'm sure she didn't realize the blessing that was in store. And I'm sure Naomi was wondering, how could even there be a blessing right on the heels of all this? I'm in bitterness of soul. The circumstances are heart-wrenching. It's painful. How could God turn all of this for good? How can Romans 8:28 be true that all things work together for the good of those that are called according to His purposes? Is it true, Lord? And yet they are on the heels of a blessing. The barley harvest, the season of fruitfulness, the season of reaping is right ahead of them. And I love how this story progresses. And for the lack of time, as we begin to read, they begin to make their dwelling there in Jerusalem. And they begin to say, we need to get some food and begin to glean from the fields like was done in those days. They would go and break the ground and plant in the fields, but they would leave the outer parts open. They would plant in those areas, but they would only harvest certain parts and let the outer parts to be available for those that would go and glean, for those that were poor, for those that were in need. They left those fields, parts of the fields, open. And so Naomi begins to tell Ruth, go and begin to glean. And it's interesting, and we don't got the time to read it all. But it says they happen to be in the field of a man named Boaz. And it ends up happening to be that this man is a distant relative of Naomi's. Someone that could be the kinsman redeemer to Ruth. And it's amazing how she begins to toil in the thing and Boaz takes notice of the woman. You put your hand in God's hand and you be faithful to Him and determined. God is going to take notice of you. And the Bible says Boaz began to notice this woman from Moab and finds out it's Naomi's daughter-in-law. And he begins to say, leave some extra just for her. And when she begins to work there, he begins to say, let her, and he gives her all these privileges unbeknown to her. God is beginning to bless. And then Naomi begins to find out that it's a relative, and so he's speaking kindly to her. He's taking notice of her. And eventually, the whole effect of the kinsman redeemer would transpire. And she would become the wife of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And she would give birth to a son who would be the grandfather of King David. It's an amazing story. But we're talking about the trial before the blessing. We don't know why God is allowing what He's allowing. I don't know your life. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I may have a little modicum of some. But I don't know your pain. I don't know your stress. I don't know your frustrations. I don't know if you feel like Naomi saying, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Sometimes it seems so rough. How can God work this out for good? But I'm here to tell you that if, like Ruth, you will cleave unto the Lord and say, no matter where you go, I am going to go. If you die, I'm going to die there. Wherever you are, I am there. We've got to cleave to the Lord. I'm reminded of Mary when Jesus came out of the tomb. And she's weeping, and all of a sudden she says, Mary! You all remember that? First she thought it was the gardener and was crying. And he says, Mary! And she says, Rabbi! And she runs and she falls at His feet and lays hold on Jesus. And He says to her, let me go! Because if I don't go to my Father, He's not saying I don't want you to hold me. He's just saying I got things to do. She was holding on to Him like she's not going to let Him go. Amen? We must have that same kind of determination to walk with the Lord. Having set our hand to the plow, we are not going to look back. Amen? I am determined to go all the way with Jesus. And I'm guaranteeing you this, according to the word of the Lord, that a blessing is just in store. You hold your head high. You keep your chin up. You keep on trusting Jesus. He has not forsaken you. He's not forgotten who you are. He gave you your name. And He's not going to leave you in bitterness and pain. A blessing is in store. Can you say amen? Let's stand.